Hello, everyone. This is Will.
This is Alex.
Welcome back to another episode of They Mostly Come Out at Night.
Mostly.
So, 1977.
It's done.
We had some ups. We had a lot of downs.
It was good.
Finally come to a close. I think it was a good year.
It was
what we saw, a lot of really, really good stuff, and then we saw a lot of stuff that
was not so good.
Yeah.
Was not so good, but was okay.
I would probably be okay if I never saw again.
Yeah.
But there's some stuff that I actually want to go rewatch.
Yeah.
Just on my own. Just be like, you know, can I enjoy it without alcohol?
And yeah.
And without, like, anyone there?
Yeah, just on
its
own.
If I can still enjoy it on its own, I think it's a decent movie.
I think it wins.
Yes. But anyway, we saved the best for last. And I have to give a little backstory here.
Okay. I kept this a secret from you.
Yes, you did. Thanks for that.
Which you will find out why.
So, The Exorcist, the first one.
Yes.
Is
best
my
movie we're reviewing.
Yeah.
No.
If we were, this would be a much different podcast.
Yes.
The Exorcist is my all-time favorite horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
For many different reasons. But I think the reason I think it's my favorite, it was the first movie to actually, like, legitimately scare me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it gave me nightmares when I first watched it. And, like, as a kid, I watched a ton of horror movies. I still do watch a ton of horror movies. And The Exorcist always is in the back of my mind. I compare every other horror movie to how scared The Exorcist made me.
Yeah.
It scares the hell out of you. It, like, really gets under your skin, right? And I love how it's framed like this kind of like family drama, but with this horrific shit going on, because it feels more grounded in reality than most horror movies. Like it feels like this is actually happening to Reagan and her mother, and like it's affecting everyone in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Like to me, it's the perfect horror movie because it gets it.
Yeah.
It gets everything right. It gets like the atmosphere right. It gets the spooks right. It gets like, it's like religious without being overtly religious, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of stuff to it. There's a lot of stuff going on. And that's why, like, it's my all-time favorite horror movie. Like, I love The Shining. That's, like, my second favorite horror movie of all time because it's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And it was a hard decision, but I think I went with The Exorcist just because the imagery in The Exorcist and how, like, and how grounded in, like, this could actually, like, happen. I could see people reacting this way to this situation.
Yeah.
And so I kind of immersed myself in that kind of like,
like
what I would do in this situation. That made it even more horrifying because I put myself in Reagan's shoes. I put myself in the mother's shoes. I put myself in the priest's shoes. Like, and it just all comes to a head and it's just like, it's perfect for me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just my opinion. Like I wanted to tell you this because Alex, this madman, saved, oh my god, I can't believe this fucking happened. He saved fucking Exorcist 2 for our last fucking movie of 1977.
I purposely saved it because
Exorcist
I knew.
Exorcist 2, The Heretic.
Now, I do also love The Exorcist. It's not my favorite horror movie. I probably wouldn't even put it in my top 5, but I think it's a great movie, and it's probably the only exorcism movie that, like, I think is worth any shits.
I would agree
at
completely.
All. It's the only one where I'm watching it and it doesn't feel like fake.
It's not schlocky, right?
No.
Like all the other exorcist movies.
It feels real.
Yes.
Like it feels like it's actually happening. And I know that that's because the guy who directed it, like, because the guy who wrote The Exorcist was way more into like the fantastical stuff.
Yes.
But the director could not give two fucks about like religion and like anything fantastical. He filmed it as if like this is matter of fact happening in this house, and that's why I love it. I also love it because it's just like, I know people nowadays will say like, oh, The Exorcist is slow and boring, but see, for me, that's why I like it, because there's no jump scares, there's no goofy shit. It just is.
It can take more of its time to scare the hell out of you.
It takes its time. It takes its time to develop the characters and the atmosphere. And then, boy, once that ending happens, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But,
boy.
In 1977, there was a sequel, Exorcist II: The Heretic. I had not seen this movie.
Apparently, this script got bounced around a lot. Like, it, like, apparently, like, was in and out of production.
Because no one wanted to make it, and then...
Like, they finally got Linda Blair to come back on.
Yeah.
But, like, even she said it was, like, a complete mess.
Yeah.
And wanted to actually leave the production. But that she was contract. She was contractually obligated. So, like, it just... It had so much... So many problems, right? Going into, like, production, the screenwriting, the, like... You know, I think it might have bounced off a couple directors. I think even Stanley Kubrick was considered for directing this.
Yeah.
But, like, it just, like, got bounced off of a bunch of people. And then finally it landed in the director's lap that directed it. And I guess he tried his best with the script he got because, oh boy, there's a lot to unpack here.
I will say this, like, I have not seen this movie.
I had not seen it either. I actually kind of refused to watch it.
Because everyone who's loved The Exorcist, this movie has a reputation as being, like, the worst sequel ever.
It's notorious for being, like, just literally the worst sequel ever conceived.
Now, I will say this.
That's omitting Baby Geniuses 2.
Yes. No, it's literally, like, people will say, like, oh, this is the sequel that, like, shits. It's... like all over its own like franchise and everything.
Yes.
We'll get
way,
to that.
In a way, but we'll get to that.
I disagree. But we'll get to that. Maybe I should have set my expectations higher, but personally, like, maybe it's because our expectations were just so
low.
Pathetically low. But let's get into it.
All right. So let's see. Okay. Sorry, I got to pull up my notes cuz I am not prepared.
I mean, it starts kind of like the first one.
Yeah, so there's an exorcism in, like, this, like, it's kind of this, it almost looks like a shack of
some kind. Yeah.
But, like, a really big one with a bunch of people there, and they're all screaming, and, like, there's this, like, yelling going on, and, like, there's a bunch of women holding this younger woman, and she's, like, screaming and, like, you know, speaking in Spanish, and, you know, then, the exorcist from the first movie walks on. I can't remember.
Why. It's actually not him.
Oh, no, it's not him. You're right. No, sorry. It's
Lamont.
Shit, yeah, that's right.
Which
is
the main character here.
Yes.
He walks in.
Sorry, my bad.
And he tries to, like, you know, exorcise her.
Yes.
But
it's played by Richard Burton,
yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
This is one of the most high-production movies we've watched on this on this podcast, to be honest.
Yeah, it is.
So anyway, yeah, so Richard Burton character walks into the light and we finally see him and he starts trying to give an exorcism.
Yeah, but he's not
into he's not like, you can tell his like, either like his faith is wavering.
Yeah.
Or something's happening where it's not succeeding.
Mm-hmm.
So the girl, they lose control of the girl. She knocks over a bunch of candles and then stands in a fire and just like laughs. While she burns and then, like, screams. And he's just, like, watching horrified.
Then we immediately,
and then,
like, cut back to Reagan practicing tap dancing.
Yes.
And she is, like, training to be tap dancing and blah, blah, blah. Eventually, she goes to what I can best describe as a science fiction hospital.
Yes. Well, it's like a therapist. So it's like they're helping children with like mental like disabilities.
Yeah.
So you know, like autism and stuff like that.
I say sci-fi hospital though.
It's so sci-fi because like there's like sliding glass doors. There's
everything's
like,
glass.
There's a bunch of different rooms that are all like hexagonal shaped.
Yeah, it's all glass.
And then there's like a little like center room where the kids play, but like it's surrounded by all these other rooms. That are all glass and wood paneling.
Yeah.
It's so weird because it feels straight out of a fucking sci-fi movie.
Yeah, like Star Trek or something.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's present day.
So Reagan goes in and they have like kind of a session where they're talking about how Reagan's been still having bad dreams and how, you know, she's kind of like dealing with it on her own. She's not like, giving the therapist like much to go
Yeah,
off
she's
with.
Not giving her a lot of
she
answers.
Wants, she just wants to like... kind of try and deal with these bad dreams on her own.
And she mentions, of course, that time in Washington.
Yes.
Which I was like, oh, is that going to be like the only reference to the original? Oh, no.
There are so many fucking references to the original Exorcist.
Like this, I would say you, if you're watching this movie, you should have watched the first one.
It makes it a lot more significant.
Because a lot of stuff is not going to make sense.
Yes. So Reagan leaves the office and, you know, then we get the main guy.
Yeah, Lamont, the priest.
He goes in, we see a pope, kind of like a pope guy walking into a building, and he's like, you know, he starts to take off all of his, like, his other robes, and it's a cardinal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cardinal of the church. So, Richard Burton's character comes in,
and they start talking about Father Marin from the first movie, and now he's dead.
They want to investigate, like, if he was a Satanist, or, like, because there's a lot of mystery surrounding
death. Well, they're saying that, like, he wrote about exorcisms and all this stuff, and like his writings are very controversial.
Yes.
But these two, they're wanting to like investigate this to kind of like prove that no, he wasn't like a crank.
Right.
But a lot this was real.
A lot of people at this point think he's like a Satanist, that he was like into Satan worship, and like he wanted like a demonic presence and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, but they want to prove that that didn't happen.
That he was like doing this stuff legitimately.
So he sends Richard Burton's character to go on like a mission and like kind of like research what happened to the priest during the exorcism of
Reagan. Yeah.
So they want to know like what exactly happened.
Yeah.
So the first place he goes, he finds out where Reagan is now. Right, because he wants to ask her questions about it.
And he goes to the science fiction hospital?
Yep, so he goes to the science fiction hospital, and
it's, like, immediate.
Yeah, it's weird. He, like, just starts interrogating the therapist, like, right there.
Yeah. And like, she's like, well, she doesn't really remember, but, you know, it's just, like, it's just all in her head, and I do like the monologue he gives her about, like, evil.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's all, like, it's omnipresent, it's like it's
all perverted, surrounding, and
it's perverted and it's perverting, and it, like, and it's like
it never fully goes away,
and it's like a presence that's always there.
So and then
and she's saying that no, it's just like it's just mental illness, it's not.
I guess I should say we should mention before this, like, you saw a little bit of Reagan and the therapist before the father walked in, and they're talking about this like machine that they can synchronize their dreams.
It's like she can, like, it's like hypnosis, essentially.
Yes.
And then she can go into her, like...
They can kind of synchronize each other's consciousness and, like, see each other's dreams.
And they'll be in the dream state together.
It's so...
It's fucking weird.
Listen, you have to suspend your disbelief a lot in this movie.
No, you have to accept this for what it is.
Yes.
Or it will fucking infuriate you.
Like... Even at this point, I was like, like, I don't absolutely hate it, which is surprising.
Yeah.
But I can see how people coming from the original Exorcist, even at this point, I could be like, this is, like, nothing.
Well, because the original...
Because it references the Exorcist a lot, but it's nothing like the original.
Because the original, it, despite the subject, it's very grounded in reality.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of a strength. And then you come into this, and within the first 10 minutes, they're talking about dream synchronizing.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, okay.
It kind of just, like, starts going off the deep end and doesn't give a fuck. I'll save this for my final thought.
We'll get to it.
Yeah, we'll get to it. So anyway, Reagan, before she leaves, is like, hey, I do want to try that.
Yeah, because before she wasn't interested. Yeah. But now she's like, I changed my mind.
I do want to try the thing. And then the therapist is like, well, we can do it, you know, tomorrow.
And she's like, hey, Father Lamont, you can help.
Yes. And he wants to help because he wants to know what's going on with Reagan. But the therapist won't tell him anything about Reagan because of the confidentiality.
Yeah.
And she said that, like, she's not going to release any, like, information about Reagan.
Yeah.
But he can sit on this.
Yeah.
So we finally, so with the next day.
And they are sitting in front of this, like, machine, and it's, like, two light bulbs.
It's, like, this large, box, and then it's, like, a large rectangular box, and then a little pillar coming up, and two lights pointing at each of the actors.
And then both actors put on, like, a rubber strap on their head.
Yes. And with wires coming down.
And then they sit in front of the machine, and it's supposed to, like, the lights flash, and they hypnotize you.
And so, like, the lights flash differently for different people. So what they do is they hypnotize Reagan first, and the light's, like, blinking really fast, and it slows down to this, like, And it's like a bassy, like,
yeah,
like over and over again.
It's very rhythmic.
It kind of got annoying. I'm glad they kind of like did some sound editing like, yeah, in the later scenes, but in this scene, it's like really loud.
And it keeps repeating.
You can barely hear the actors sometimes. Yeah. It's kind of annoying in the first scene, but they did fix it. So the therapist kind of puts her in a dream state and tells her to go to her original house,
mm-hmm,
like where this all happened. Because the therapist firmly believes that Reagan didn't have a demon inside her.
Yeah.
It was just something like a psychotic break.
Yeah.
So she wants to get down to the bottom of why she's having these bad dreams, because she thinks she's on the verge of another one.
Mm-hmm.
So she puts her in that dream state, goes to the house, and then she's like, what she says, like, what, Father Burton to...
Oh, and Father Lamont to, like...
Father Lamont, yeah, sorry.
To, like, come to her or something.
Yes.
And then he puts on his rubber
puts things. On his little strap.
He gets hypnotized, and then they start going through the events of the house.
Yep, so they walk in, so, like... Well, they don't walk in. It's just, like, they're, like, talking to each other, and they're like, oh, like, what do you see? What's this? And, like, you know, finally, like, as the light flashes, we get, like,
mm-hmm,
Demon Reagan slowly appearing.
Yeah, it's, like...
On the glass.
It's, like, you see both actors in the middle of the frame, and then on the right is Demon Reagan, and on the left is Father Marin, mid-exorcism.
And so Demon Reagan starts, like... Oh, no, sorry, it's the therapist that's under right now. Remember? Because they reach into her heart and she starts, like...
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that, sorry. It's not Father Marin. Sorry, not Marin. God damn it, I'm mixing up all the fucking names. It's not Richard Burton that's in the fucking chair. It's,
yeah,
the therapist. So she's, like, imagining all this, and, like, Demon Reagan starts reaching over her, mm-hmm, like, chest. And, like, The nurse starts, like, freaking out because she's, like, defibbing.
And yeah, the doctor starts defibbing, and then
she, like, puts the emergency thing on. Reagan wakes up, but the therapist doesn't.
Yeah.
So then Reagan goes over to the therapist to, like, check her heart, and Richard Burton goes over and puts the thing on because he apparently has all the knowledge about this now.
He wants to know.
So he goes in and he sees Reagan, uh-huh, Demon Reagan, reaching across this therapist's, like, chest, and, like, it starts, like, almost like
we see his, like, her exposed heart.
Yeah. And then he, like, it, like, reaches in because and it's going over, so, like, superimposed over Reagan's face is Demon Reagan, superimposed over the Richard Burton's character is Father Mirren,
mm-hmm,
and then like they're all, like, in this weird, like, dream state, and the Demon Reagan reaches her hand. Are you confused yet? Demon Reagan reaches her hand. This is gonna be a hard one to explain.
Just say the demon.
Demon reaches into the therapist's chest and starts squeezing it, and then they finally, like, I can't remember how they get it or out of it, but, like, the, like, finally starts reaching.
Lamont basically says, like, you know, like, does an incantation, like, begone,
yeah,
demon.
And so Father Mirren, we see him fall down,
mm-hmm,
and then they're both out, they're all in the dream state, right?
Yeah.
But before they do, they say the therapist won't remember any of it.
Yeah.
But Reagan and Father Lamont, mm-hmm, will.
Yeah, because, first they're not sure, but you find out later that Reagan knows everything now.
Yes.
Eventually, there is a scene where Reagan is, they're all just hanging out at the hospital, and Reagan is helping someone draw.
So she draws a picture,
and she starts drawing a face.
And after, like, Father Lamont is finally done, he starts leaving, but Reagan's like,
The nurse is like, look, Reagan drew a picture. She's very good.
And it's Lamont's face with a bunch of fire coming off of it.
Yeah.
So he, like, starts freaking out. So he goes and hunts down the therapist.
He's like, there's a fire.
He's like, there's a fire. There's a fire somewhere. I don't know where, but there's a fire. So they go downstairs,
mm-hmm,
and sure enough, there's a box on fire. They kick it over. He starts, like, hitting it with
a crutch.
With a crutch to, like, fan the flames. She goes and calls the therapist goes and calls the fire department, and then grabs a fire extinguisher.
And we get a brief shot of his head. And there's, like, the flames behind it, and it looks exactly like Reagan's picture that she drew.
Like the flames are exactly where they were on the picture. But that was actually pretty. I actually kind of liked that.
Yeah, it's cool.
It was pretty. It is pretty well done. I'll be honest.
It's cool. And it makes a little more sense, I guess, now that I've seen the movie for why she knew.
Yes.
But, you know, because then they're outside, and he's like talking to her. He's like, she knew that this was dangerous and this was happening. And he's like, basically telling the doctor, like, this evil presence is back.
Like,
and it's trying to, like, reach her again.
Yes. Like, there's something locked. There's an evil thing locked inside Reagan. And we need to make sure that this evil does not get to it, basically.
Yeah. And she's in danger.
Yes. So now we get the locust dreaming stuff. Which
is this when she's when Reagan's asleep?
Yep. So Reagan's asleep.
Boy, this was nuts.
Reagan's asleep on her bed.
In her fancy-ass apartment.
Yes. It's weird. It looks like something out of a 70s, like, sci-fi
movie. I want this apartment.
It's all mirrored and all that stuff.
Yeah, with a giant balcony that has, there's just an empty, like, you can just walk off.
Yeah.
And you're falling down the streets of New York.
Well, Reagan's mom is an actress, so.
She's conveniently not present during the events of this movie.
Yeah,
but boy,
she's just gone.
She's going to have
and
a nice.
And no one, you know, for movie convenience, no one informs her that her daughter is going through a bunch of traumatic shit.
I guarantee it's because the actress didn't want to come back.
I guarantee it.
They wrote her out.
But it's just kind of funny how, like, all this shit happens to Reagan and the mom is nowhere to be found.
It's one line. I don't even remember when. It's, like, middle of the movie that they mention, like, oh, well, she's off on a.
She went to, like, a job in somewhere.
She's an actress. Yeah.
So, anyway, Reagan starts dreaming of, like, this village.
We see, like. Like a POV shot of this village and all these like villagers, and it's kind of like they're all kind of like crying and miserable. And then we see Father Marin in like a hut.
He's like taking pictures.
He's like he's taking notes.
And they're like worshiping this like baby. But then we get an outside view of the village
and
there's
giant,
like a swarm of locusts.
Yeah.
And some guy's like doing the little whistle things to
ward them off.
And he gets overcome by them. And, like, Father Marin's taking all these pictures of it and all that stuff.
I thought that was later.
Well, so, it doesn't show anything
okay.
at this point.
But right? It expands more. And we get the name later.
The guy's, like...
Yeah.
Because remember when he gets taken over, that's when Reagan almost falls off the building. Because he gets taken over by locusts. Because
Reagan starts, like, walking. Not even, like, asleep. Like, she's awake. But she starts walking and she's almost, like, fallen... off the balcony.
Yep.
She gets woken up.
And then she, like, screams, and then, like, the nurse girl goes and checks on her, and she's just tending to her birds in a giant stainless steel bird tree.
It's lit.
Yeah. Like, it's a birdhouse tree made of steel.
A fucking steel on the balcony that's just mirrors.
All right. So, now they... Now the priest, so Father Lamont, wants to go back to the house where it all started, right?
Yeah.
Am I getting this plot point right? Does anything happen between then? Because I thought they go to Washington now.
Oh, my God. At what point do we get the cliff, Will?
That's later. I have
it. Is it later? Okay, yeah. Cool.
I have it in my notes.
I'm gonna assume you're right because my notes. I spent most of my time during the movie being baffled.
Yes, because remember.
Is this where he goes? He goes back to Washington with that woman, right? The like assistant.
Yeah, so he goes. So he takes the assistant back to the original house, to kind of where it all like started, and he wants to see. What was going on in that dream state.
Yeah.
So, but they don't think they don't really find anything.
They don't.
They just find the, like, empty room and all that stuff. And then they leave. And then we get, like, another dream. Oh, that's right. This is where the dream of the exorcist cliff thing happens.
This is where everything happens?
Yeah. So, okay. I can't remember what happens or who goes into this dream state. I think they're back at the weird... thing, aren't they?
Yeah, they're doing the hypnosis again.
He's like,
yeah, they are, because they're hanging out at the hospital.
Yeah.
Reagan walks in, like, all casual, and then they just immediately start doing the dream shit.
So it's like Father Lamont and Reagan are doing the dream thing again. Mm-hmm. And so they get, they find Father Mirren, like, climbing.
First we see the same thing we saw before.
Oh, yeah, where he's taking pictures. So it's the locust attacking the village, and it's a bunch of...
The guy twirling.
He's warding off the locust.
He gets overcome.
Father Mirren goes in after him. This is where we get the continuation of this scene.
And he turns over, and we get what is probably the dumbest moment in the movie. Actually, no, it is the dumbest moment
like
in the movie.
Like the Reagan demon. It's like the demon makeup from the first one, but like on this...
It's villager. Not the makeup. It's just...
The eyes. I think it was
it's
the
everything
eyes.
That yeah. annoys me about this. It's just like, well, he turns over and he's just like kind of staring at him. And then he's just like, I am Pazuzu. Yeah. Like he just does that. Now, I just, because again, I feel like people don't know this, but in Exorcist 1, they never say Pazuzu.
I think it's better if you don't mention any name.
Because I feel like nobody knows this at this point because Pazuzu is so, like, everyone, which is funny because nobody likes this movie, but everyone still calls the fucking demon Pazuzu. That's from this movie.
My thing is, why did they even need to name him?
Probably because they name drop Pazuzu, like...
A billion times?
A billion times going forward. Yeah. It's just like, it's like you said, it's scarier if you don't name it. But if you're going to name it, it should be less hokey.
I think it just... I don't know. It's just like... Don't name your demon.
Yeah.
It's that easy. Just... It's the mystery behind what this demon can do and what its name is.
Or why it would even have a name.
Or why... Yeah. Why it would even call itself by anything is more horrifying than actually naming it.
Yeah. But they do.
Because Pazuzu sounds dumb.
It is.
It's really dumb.
It's like the stupid fucking
God,
thing.
God, that is a dumb ass name.
No, it's almost all of those names are dumb. It's like that stupid name in fucking Sinister. Oh. Bagul, remember?
Yeah, and there was like the lipstick demon. They call it the lipstick demon from fucking Insidious.
The Bye Bye Man.
Oh, God.
Amazing.
Oh,
but
God damn it.
It's always scary if you don't name it. But they did. And it's the dumbest part of the movie. But it's fine because guess what? Insanity continues. Then we get like this fucking... Nutso.
It's like this weird camera thing they do where it's just like swooping around this like landscape.
Like valleys and like miniatures and we see like...
It's like this miniature of a mountain and it's like flying through it and like it's actually pretty pretty cool.
Pretty cool to watch.
But then it goes like up
and then the cliff. And at some point we also see these like weird close-ups of a locust flying.
Yeah. But it's Pazuzu flying.
Yeah, I know.
So, because Pazuzu takes spoiler alert, Pazuzu takes the form of a locust in the dreams.
Locust swarms.
Yes.
But we get the most metal shit ever, because we get a bunch of people climbing up a cliff, and it's like a fucking...
It's like a narrow cliff, so like you can put your back against it and like put your hands
forward,
and you're like wedged between it, and that's how they're like climbing up.
And Father Mirren is on that cliff, performing an exorcism on that fucking Goomba.
The fucking guy who got taken over by locusts is like hanging from a basket on the side of a cliff,
and Father Mirren
is throwing fucking holy water up at him
There's like wind knocking people off.
Well, like hanging off a fucking cliff. It's like it's a cliffside exorcism.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest shit I've ever seen. And then, like, if that didn't entertain you enough.
Yeah.
We get just a fucking guy falling for goddamn ever. Like, he falls, and he starts, like, rolling down, and then he falls some more, and then he hits a rock and falls some more, and then he falls all the way down, and then falls more.
And gets wedged
between,
like...
And then gets wedged in between two rocks.
And then we get them in, like, a building, and Father Marin's doing his exorcism in there, and he finally, like...
He finally wards off Pazuzu.
And then we get a POV shot of like something like leaving the body and everyone like yelling at it, and it's the locust.
Yes.
And then
it flies off.
fly between landscapes.
And it goes, like, you know, through this, like, wooded area. It goes through, like, a mountainous area. It goes through, like, like every landscape you can think of, pretty much.
We do get my favorite shot, though, when it's going through the town.
Yes.
The, like, mud city. And it's, like, this, like, POV, like, batshit insane shot of it just, like, zooming through the city while everyone's, like, running out of its way. And then it just comes up to this house, and James Earl Jones walks out
in, like, a bug outfit
and roars at it.
And then, like, we get a he roars at it, and then we get a shot of a, like, a panther roaring.
And then end dream. Are you confused?
You sticking with this?
You should be. I was confused, but I didn't care. I was like, that was fucking confusing and made no sense, but okay, I'll let it take me.
So then Reagan decides to leave, and she's, like, heading out, and
there's a girl.
There's a little girl, and she goes to talk to the little girl, and the little girl can barely talk, right? And she says, you know,
What's wrong?
I have autism.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know,
And then she's like, I can't talk. And she's like, well, you're talking.
And she's, like, the girl's all surprised.
Yeah.
And then the girl's mom walks in, and she's like, she's talking? Oh, my God, she's talking.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, now it's like Reagan has these, like,
special powers.
Powers.
Ex.
I made the joke that it's the
Exorcist
the
men.
member of the Exorcist crew.
There's a brief line later that sort of, like, expands on this a little, but it's still, like, it's insanity. But whatever, it's fine.
She's, like, telekinetic now. Yeah. It's weird as shit. Again, I can see how fans...
Yeah.
And I should have hated this. I can see how fans absolutely just... Like, this movie is just, like, no.
No. But it happened.
It's
fine.
Now...
Reagan and Lamont go to...
A museum.
Yeah. And they're walking around, kind of talking about, like, basically what's been going on. And he's like, do you remember everything? And she's like, yeah, I do.
So she knows exactly what's going on, but she's trying to ward off Pazuzu by herself.
Yeah.
She's basically saying, like, I can do this alone. Like, you know, she doesn't have it all covered, but, like, she's trying to make sure no one else gets hurt.
And then they get to, like, this display there, and it has, like, this, like, church on a cliff, and she's like, hey, that's where the boy was.
Kakumo. Kakumo's the roarer.
And he's like, you know his name? He's like, yeah, it's the man with the panther. Or the leopard, whatever.
Yep. And so, you know, Lamont's like, okay,
I'm gonna go.
I gotta go. So he goes back to the church to talk to the cardinal.
Cardinal
is just like, fuck you. Like,
I'm sure he explained all of this insanity about how he's synced up with Reagan in dreams, and the cardinal's just like, nope.
The cardinal's like, listen, you need to take a retreat.
Fucking chill.
You need to calm down because you're acting fucking crazy.
And the next shot is our boy. He's like, I'm going anyway, climbing up the cliff.
He's just climbing up the cliff. He doesn't even care.
Yeah. He goes to this church on the cliff, goes through, like, the ceremony there.
They're all, like, yelling and stuff, and they give out, like,
the holy water.
The sacrament. It's, like, the bread and the wine. He drinks it all, and he basically confesses that he had no choice. Like, he had to go to this. Like, he had to figure out what was going on.
Yeah.
Like, even he says that before he takes the sacrament.
And he's, like,
that's his sin.
Basically been, like, tempted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then we get Reagan back at her apartment talking with the doctor about how she is in sync with Lamont.
Yes.
So she can, like, telepathically knows
what's
up. Basically
communicate with him. She can call on him and he can call on her.
Because when you're synced up in dream state machine, you are in sync with your minds together so you can telepathically talk.
So Lamont comes out of the church, and they're all, like, walking out. He's talking with the high priest, and he's, like, they're saying basically how they knew
Kakumo?
No, the other priest. Why can't I?
Oh, Marin?
Marin.
Yeah, he was a good man.
Sorry, God. Exorcist is my favorite movie, and I'm, like, blanking on all these fucking important names. Marin. So they're talking about how Marin was a good man, and, like, he performed the exorcism on this boy and, like, did exorcise the demon. Mm-hmm. But they lost one of their men, and he, like, fell down a cliff. And Lamont is just like, he fell right there. Like,
I saw it.
I saw it. And so he starts climbing down like a madman.
And he, like, finds the skeleton
and
wedged.
He finds the skeleton that no one else could find for, like, years.
And they're like, "What? How did you know?" And he's like, well, it's a long story, but hypnosis and stuff.
Hypnosis and all this stuff. And then he mentions Pazuzu,
and
which
then
was probably,
like,
his first mistake.
And they're like, oh, nope, nope.
They're like, nope, you're a Satanist. Okay, nope,
bye.
Nope, bye.
And
we're
one
not
of them
dealing with that.
Throws, they're like angry at him. And one of them throws a rock at him.
Oh, we should mention that this is intercut with Reagan doing a tap dance.
Performance.
And she's dancing with a bunch of other kids. And they're all, like, happy. Mm-hmm. And, like, so one guy throws the rock at Lamont. It hits Lamont in the head. And we see Reagan stagger back. Mm-hmm. Because they're connected.
They're connected.
So he's, like, getting stoned.
And
not the good kind.
No. The filmmakers were getting stoned, but
not just on marijuana, I can guarantee you that. So he's getting stoned, and he gets in a car, and, like, we get intercut scenes of, like, Reagan, like, just, like, freaking the fuck out. Mm-hmm. while trying to tap dance, and she falls on the floor and, like, starts convulsing.
Yeah.
While Lamont gets the fuck out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they finally wake her up, and she kind of just says, like, you know, I'm
don't, fine. Like, don't drug me.
Yeah. So they drug her.
They drug her to calm her the fuck down.
So now we get Lamont. He goes to a village, and he finds a pilot.
Yeah.
So he's talking to, like, these French nuns. And
asking them, like, about this city with, like, mud huts.
Yes. And they have kind of no idea
what he's
talking about.
And so then a guy shows up.
A pilot shows up with a cross.
And he's like, I know where it is.
Like, literally no one told him.
No.
He just knew.
He knew.
So he's like, I know where it is. And then he flies him over there.
Yeah.
And then, so
Richard Burton starts walking around.
And he goes up to, like, a guard, and he's like, something, Kakumo. And the guy's like, Kakumo? Kakumo? No, Kakumo? Kakumo? Kakumo?
No.
And then, like, and then, like, says something, and is like, Kakumo. Like, he says Kakumo, like, a million times. I swear to God, like.
Yeah.
He says it so many times. I have no idea what he's saying, but you can clearly say he's something about
Kakumo. Something about Kakumo.
And then, for some reason, Lamont finds the hut where Kakumo is.
Well, remember, he starts calling.
Oh, no, yeah, sorry. He
calls on Pazuzu.
He does what he said he wouldn't do because he's losing his faith.
Well, he starts calling on Pazuzu, and, like, well, first he links up with
Reagan,
and then Reagan's, like, in a trance. She's like, call me by my dream name.
And he's like,
and he's
Pazuzu.
Like, I can't. She says it again. And then he says, Pazuzu, like, Pazuzu, lead me. Show me the way.
And he's like, Pazuzu, Pazuzu, show me the way. Pazuzu. And then he's finally at the hut where, you know,
Kakumo is. He's sitting there in his bug outfit.
And he's, like, looking down. And he's like, You must cross to test your faith. You have lost your faith.
And he's like,
no, I haven't.
He's like, no, Jesus. you called on the demon.
And, like, you know, Lamont tries to fake him out. He's like, Jesus Christ is the only, like,
is the only person I believe in. And he's like, prove it.
And so he steps down. So there's all these, like, spikes
it's
everywhere.
It's like water with spikes.
And then for some reason, Kakumo, like, spits out, like, a ball, and it, like, stabs on one of the spikes.
It's like a cherry.
Yeah. And then, like, Lamont steps down and stabs his fucking foot
and falls.
And falls and lands on tile.
And then
Kakumo
is there.
Dr. Kakumo now.
Yeah. He's like, oh, you
like
okay? You fell.
Yeah. And I'm just like, okay.
And then that happened.
So that was like a dream state, I'm guessing.
I'm guessing.
Because, I mean, he was just in an office. Now he's in an office.
It's literally an office.
And they're studying locusts.
Yeah.
So they're studying how locusts, like, when they flap each other with their wings, if they have, like, bad intentions, it can create, like, a mob mentality.
Yeah.
And they get, like, a hive mind, and they all just start eating each other.
Yeah.
So, like, evil spreads when the locusts, like, touch you with its wings.
Hence how, because he mentions, like, I mean, he knows, that's how Kakumo got infected. essentially.
Because
the wings touched him.
Because the locust took him over, and evil took him over.
So evil travels through locusts, and if their wings touch you, you are fuck-a-doodle-doo.
But don't you worry your pretty little head, Alex, because guess what? There is one locust out of millions.
Well, there, he's like...
that when its wings touch, it isn't affected by the evil.
Well, because Kakumo, in, like, basically, through evolution, like, invented a locust where it's not evil. It's just like a normal grasshopper.
Yes.
I don't.
And it's the good locust.
I don't really get it.
I don't really get.
This is the one thread of the movie that I'm like not entirely like.
I get how they can. I don't get how it's like created the good locust and all that bullshit. But I get what they're trying to go for with the ending.
Yeah.
Like there is the good locust versus the bad.
The bad, yeah.
I get that, but they could have explained it in a million different better ways.
Oh yeah.
Than just locusts.
I'm fine with the locust.
I get that Pazuzu, it takes the form of a locust when he, or a hive of locusts.
Yeah.
Because they have an evil hive mind. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, Pazuzu is all stretching.
Yeah.
So he's like, he spreads evil.
He is stretchy boy.
Yes. So, then we get Reagan and she like wakes up and she pulls out like the
IV.
So she pulled out the IV to like guide Lamont to Kakumo.
Yeah.
To like do in the dream state. And then so she gets up and she like starts getting like she starts going leaving and the nurse is like
she has a bag.
It's like Reagan, don't go. And like Reagan's like it's okay and the nurse is just like okay.
Okay.
She just lets her leave.
She has like a bag with her.
Yes.
And she meets up with Lamont at the museum.
So Lamont flies back from his little journey
wearing his fucking swag coat.
I wonder if this was like supposed to like signify a change in Lamont,
possibly,
because you know like he's wearing like priest clothes the entire time.
Yeah.
And now he's wearing this like red and black thing with a black suit.
Yeah.
So I possibly wonder if it's like trying to show that like
something's not right.
He a bad boy now.
He's being tempted.
He's a bad boy. He's lost his faith. I think that's what they're trying. Possibly. I think that's what they're trying to show. I'm not 100%.
I mean,
sure.
You might be right, but they go to his like shitty apartment, and
it's like a hotel he's staying at. They're gonna try and like basically fight
because you find out that Reagan stole the dream machine.
Yep, she the synchronizer.
Yes,
because they're in sync. Remember? They keep mentioning how they're in sync.
They are.
So, they go back into the dream state, and something, like, fucks up. I can't remember what this dream is. I don't think it's very long. I think just something fucks up, and, like, Lamont is, like, now just, like...
He's, like, in a trance.
He's in a trance. So, he's, like, starts leaving the apartment, and Reagan's like, wait, where are you going? Like, wait, like...
And he's not replying.
She starts, like, giving chase. They go to, like, a
train station.
A train station.
And Reagan quickly runs off to a payphone.
And calls the doctor therapist.
And tells her, like, I'm sorry, like, I had to do it to help him. But, like, now we're at the train station. And she's like, oh, he's going back to the house.
Yeah, like, they both know.
Yeah.
What's going on. So, Reagan, like, follows the priest. And then the doctor gets Reagan's, like, assistant.
Yeah.
To come with her, and they get on a plane.
Well, first they're driving.
Oh, that's right. And
then there's a car accident in front of them.
There's a car accident, and there's a guy, like, in pain. So the doctor gets out and, like, helps him. And then they're all of a sudden on the plane while Lamont and Reagan are getting on a bus.
They're on a train.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And she has to, like, pay for everything because Lamont's just, like, tranced.
Well, and then she, like, starts reaching into Lamont's, like
pocket.
Pocket. And the train guy's like, hey, like you're stealing. Why are you stealing? And, like, Lamont just looks up and he's like, she's mine.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is weird.
You know what's even weirder? While he's staring out the fucking window of the train, they show us the plane in the sky, and it gets fucking zapped. Remember?
Because he's, like, just looking out, and it, like, gets zapped by lightning and, like, dips.
Yeah.
And then Reagan, like, kind of, like, quells him, like...
calms him the fuck
calms
down.
Calms him down, and the plane stabilizes.
Yeah.
And then the plane lands, and they get on a bus. So they get on a bus, and the two...
The two women...
Get in a taxi.
But
there's another accident.
Well, first, don't forget, they get on the bus, and they're sitting there, and the dude's just like... The bus driver's like eating a sandwich. Oh. And then Lamont just like looks at him like...
The girl needs to be... Go home.
And then the guy's like, fuck it. Just
yep.
starts driving. The two women get in a taxi. They give the guy the address. He's just like, really?
There's like a huge crash, and then he's like, this is Washington. And then like...
She's like, oh, she's a doctor. They'll care. And he's like, no one's going to give a shit. Like,
someone's dying. You know, like, whatever. And but anyway, so the bus pulls up.
They get to the house.
To the infamous... stairway.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it when they were first going to the
previously,
but we'll they see it again. So they like Lamont goes up the stairs and like starts like going over the fence to get into the house, and Reagan kind of follows him, and then the they go up, and Reagan is like not like Reagan's like fallen behind a little bit because she's trying to get in. So Lamont goes in and goes up the stairs and opens Reagan's door.
Okay, this, I want to say before you go into this, this is what commences next is fucking lit. It is fucking lit.
The next, like, 14 minutes of
are
this
fucking
film
lit.
Are insanity.
This is fucking
but
lit.
They are fucking great insanity.
Because here's the funny thing. Like, up till now, it's pretty quiet. Pretty quiet.
Yeah.
And then Lamont opens the fucking door.
And gets just shotgun blasted with, like, locusts.
Everywhere.
Like, just...
But not just that. While he's getting shotgun blasted with locusts, the fucking women in the taxi also start getting blasted. Remember?
Yeah, like, so they get, like, behind... The taxi gets behind a car, and, like, a rock runs into the window and, like, shatters it.
Yeah.
So where you can't see anything. And then as Lamont's getting, like, just... Like, just hosed with fucking locusts.
He's getting hosed so hard that he's
slamming
like...
slamming up against the wall.
They, like, lift him off the ground and slam.
And, like, the car's spinning, and, like, the taxi driver punches out, a hole in the window to try and see.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, right in front of Reagan's old house.
And he smashes.
And it crashes into the fence and, like, crashes into, like, the side of the house. And it's all mangled. It looks straight up so weird because it's all mangled and like dented in weird ways. It's like it's way fucked up. And then like Lamont like kind of like wakes up and there's no locust, right?
Yeah.
Because Reagan gets to him. And
but
then they want to go back into the room.
She's like, "What's going on?" And he like just points at the room.
And while he's pointing at the room, we get the assistant lady getting out of the car, and we
looking
see
kind of. Kind of suspicious.
And we see the doctor, like, pinned, because she's pinned with the fencing that somehow got in the car, and barbed wire.
Oh, the barbed wire, yeah.
And so the assistant goes up to the, like, the front of the steps and, like, to the front of the house, and the, like, doctor's like, what? You need to help me. Like, we need to help Reagan. And she's like, at least help Reagan.
Yeah.
If you're not going to help me, like, basically. And, like, the girl just, like, looks at her and, like, smiles, and I'm just like,
what the fuck?
What the hell is going on? So, Lamont and Reagan get up and, like, they start walking towards the door. And while this is all happening, somehow the doctor had managed to get out of the taxi. And we see her walking up to the assistant. And the assistant's, like, not letting her in, right? Because we see a bunch of gas pouring, like, next to, like, a hot light.
Yeah.
And the assistant looks down at it, looks at the doctor, looks down at it, and then just, like, smashes it and, like, starts, like, going up in flames.
Yeah. Slowly.
Just like the woman...
In the beginning.
So, while she's dying in flames, the doctor gets all freaked out, obviously, and just stands there and tries to help her. But while that's happening, Reagan and Lamont go into the...
Well, Reagan opens, she just, like, goes up to the door and opens it, and we get a very brief shot of Pazuzu.
It's Pazuzu Reagan.
On the bed, and she screams, and then later we get, like, more shots, and then she starts, like, it's, like, Reagan with just demonic eyes, and she's tempting Lamont.
Well, so it's this is the weirdest thing. It's Reagan... as a demon,
It's like a doppelganger.
In lingerie.
Yeah.
With, like, her, like, cleavage all showing and everything.
Basically.
And just, like, looking up at, like, Lamont and, like, tempting him.
To fuck her.
Because they want to birth,
like, because a she's basically spawn. She's basically telling him, like, if you fuck me, you get, like, infinite power.
Yes.
I'll give you everything you need.
And Lamont is, like, so, like, enthralled yeah. by this, he gets on top of her.
And then she's like, no, you have to kill her.
Like, no, you have to kill her first. And so, like, Reagan starts backing up, and he starts slamming her against, like, a wall.
Yeah.
And he's like, you have to die. And, like, everything. And he's, like, slamming her, and then she's like, no, like, I can't remember what she says to, like, try and, like...
Well, here's the thing that, like, gets him is, when she starts, like, and I'm guessing this is supposed to be, like, showing how she's, like, telepathic or whatever. Because she starts saying, like, por qué, like, the yeah. woman in the beginning.
So he, like, snaps out of it. And hugs her.
And then he gets, like, a...
This does not enthrall Pazuzu.
No, but then we get, like, a voice snippet of someone saying, like, basically that you have to remove the heart. So yeah. What's our boy do?
So Lamont gets on top of Demon Reagan again and starts just, like, choking her out and then, like, punching her, like, stomach.
At some point, by the way, before this... Pazuzu called on his swarm because we see a giant locust swarm forming over, like, the Capitol building in Washington.
Yes.
And flying towards the house. And as Lamont is on the bed choking Demon Reagan and punching her in the chest,
yes.
The fucking locusts start slamming through windows.
They slam through, like, another window. They, like, break apart, like, the side of the wall.
Okay, as he's, like, punching her in the chest, the house starts splitting apart.
And, like, literally, like, just, like, splitting in every single direction.
Yeah.
And, like, locusts everywhere. They're flying at Reagan. They're flying at the guy. And he's punching Demon Reagan. And, like, the house is just, like, coming completely apart.
Yeah.
And he finally, like, reaches in, like, you just see him, like, pulling a heart from her stomach.
As the house is, like, at this point, Reagan's fallen down because there's, like, a hole in the ground.
Like, the where the bedroom was, it, like, cracked down, and there's, like, a hole in the ground, and the bed is, like, about to slide off. All the sides are, like completely off kilter. Everything is fucked up in this house. Like, it's completely, like, exploding.
And he, of course... pulls out her heart. She's dead and her body just, like, tumbles the fuck away.
And then it, like, lands next to, like, actual Reagan. Yeah. And she's running down the stairs as it's all cracking apart.
Yeah.
And, like, going everywhere. And we see a bunch of shots of, like, debris falling. And our guy is just sitting on the bed and he, like, looks at the heart and he just yeets it.
Oh, yeah!
I love how he just, like, he just throws it behind him.
Yeah, he just yeets it. And then Reagan starts, She's outside, surrounded by the locusts, and she starts mimicking Kakumo when he was... Yep,
the little whistle thing.
To, like, ward off the locusts, but...
The locusts are everywhere, they're flying everywhere.
Unlike when Kakumo is doing it, she succeeds, and basically...
All the locusts disappear, but the house is completely destroyed.
Oh, it's fucking gone.
So, the doctor is with the assistant, and she's, like, on the steps, and the father comes over and is, like... You know, like, you didn't choose evil or whatever, like, any, like, gives a prayer for her.
And so she dies.
Yeah. So the doctor, Lamont and Reagan walk off and...
The doctor's just telling them, like, protect her.
Yes.
Like, the world is not going to understand what happened.
Right.
And in my head, I'm thinking, yeah.
And the doctor finally, like, gets it, right?
Yeah.
Like, the doctor is, like, finally, like, all this fucked up shit happened. Maybe demons are real.
It's real.
You know?
And what's his name? Lamont is also mentioned, like, it's subsided.
Yes.
It's not,
like, it's not permanent. Done yet. So then we get a final scene of the doctor just looking at the debris and, like, a bunch of people showing up. And they're like, what happened? And, like, the policeman is talking to the doctor, but she, like, starts to go in that, like...
The trance.
That state.
Yeah.
That Lamont was in.
Yeah.
When everything went batshit insane.
And
then it fades to white and credits.
Credits.
Oh boy. this movie is all over the place.
Yeah, no shit.
Like, I will admit, before I get into the negatives, it is, I would say the acting is really good, actually. Like, for what they were given,
yeah.
I mean, to be honest, like, the acting could have been a lot worse.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, they had really good star power. They acted well. I'm sure they didn't want to, but they did.
Mm-hmm.
And the camera shots were, I thought the cinematography was pretty cool.
No, it's really cool.
I actually kind of liked, I did like the cinematography. I liked all the different, like, shots, the different locations. Mm-hmm. I liked,
and the miniatures.
The miniatures, they were all good. I would also say, going into the miniatures, the special effects were really good.
Oh, yeah.
You can tell they spent a lot of money on this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot. Because, like, the effects are really good.
The whole house coming apart at the end?
Demon Reagan doesn't look the best, I'll be honest. I don't think they actually,
I think that's why,
makeup. Like, it just kind of looks not, like, not the same.
I think that's why, in most of that ending scene, she just has the contacts.
Yeah.
I think that's because the makeup's not as,
right.
It's not as good as in the original.
But that's the only thing that I think they didn't do. And I think it's also because, the actress who played Reagan, they had to put a lot of makeup on her.
Oh, those, yeah.
Like, exorcism things. And, like, maybe she didn't want to go through all
that. Well, that and, like, that scene had both, it had her in makeup. It would have had her in makeup and without in, yes, literally the same setting.
Yeah.
It's probably just easier not to.
Right. So that was the only time the special effects kind of, like, didn't or weren't the best, mm-hmm, but I can still forgive that. But the special effects were really good. Like, everything looked really good. Like, especially when things were going fucking nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it all looked good.
No, it looked solid.
Now we get into the story.
It's okay.
It's problematic.
Oh. Oh, honey.
Like, there's a shit ton of wrong with this plot. But, like, I would say, honestly, if you're not looking at it from, like, an exorcist point of view, like, if you're not comparing it to,
yeah,
the first one and just judging it on its own merits, it wasn't as bad, I think, as everyone says it is. It's bad. It's not, like, it's not good, per se.
No.
Because it's confusing, it goes all over the place, like, the story doesn't make really any sense at all.
Not quite.
And so, like, it's not a good movie, but I also don't think it's, like, the worst movie I've ever seen.
It's not even the worst movie in the franchise.
I was expecting to go into it thinking that I would absolutely hate this movie.
Yeah.
And while I don't really like it, I can say, honestly, that I'm not, like, mad.
No, I'm not,
like,
mad.
I'm not angry right now.
No.
Right? Because, like, they did try something different. It was a little too different, and, like,
I was expecting to be angry.
I was expecting to be angry because I was expecting to be more angry because The Exorcist is my favorite horror movie.
Yeah.
But I kind of looked at it like this wasn't an Exorcist movie.
Like, and considering, like, I mean, they referenced the first one way more.
They make it known that this is clearly an Exorcist sequel.
Like, they reference it quite a bit.
But, like, it's such a different movie that I don't even know if I... Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't feel like an Exorcist movie.
No, it's like, not it even, really, like, doesn't. I mean, I'll be honest. It's barely a horror movie.
Yeah.
It's almost like a fantasy.
Yeah, no, I would say,
because, like,
because there's a lot of mysticism. There's a lot
it's
of,
very,
like,
I'll say that it's a very mystical movie.
Mystical and spiritual.
There's, but it's not really horror. Like,
well, they try to dabble in, like, horror and, like, sorry, not horror. They try to dabble in, like, mysticism and, like, kind of religion.
Yeah,
and, like,
mythology.
Like, a bunch of different things. Like, a bunch of different aspects. And I can kind of see where they were maybe trying to go.
Yeah.
They just didn't hit the mark.
Like, yeah.
It just didn't do it for me, right? Like, mm-hmm, it didn't, like, explain things well enough where I was like, yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, man, it was okay. It's just kind of a meh movie. It's,
yeah,
like, kind of a middle of the road. Like, it's not really good at all, but it's not really bad.
No.
I don't know. Like, that's my final thoughts. It's like, if you look at it from a state where you had just come off The Exorcist and you love it and you didn't, like, try and, like, prepare yourself to hate this movie, I could see how you would be mad. Like,
yeah,
if you were absolutely a fanatic about The Exorcist and, like, were wanting something like that,
Oh, you're not going to get it.
You are not going to get that.
No, like, you're getting something very different.
If you want something like The Exorcist, this ain't it.
No.
Like, I think that's why I don't hate it as much, because I didn't know what to expect, right?
Oh.
And I think that's better, because if you go into it expecting a sequel to The Exorcist, like a faithful sequel to The Exorcist, you aren't going to get it.
The thing is, how could you even make...
That's the thing. You shouldn't
I know we're talking like about a movie that's old as fuck, but I'm not gonna spoil how Exorcist ends. But I just don't. You can't.
Like, if you haven't seen it, you need to see it, because if you we're not gonna spoil the ending for you, because I feel like everyone deserves to see that, like,
yeah,
final climactic scene.
You need to see what happens.
But so there's not really. I didn't think there was any way to do a sequel.
So at this point, it's like...
it's just kind of like a moot point. Like, it's just like,
mm-hmm.
There was no need to make the sequel. And I think that's why I went into it. Like, I can still love The Exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't absolutely have to hate this movie, but I don't really have to watch it ever again.
No.
Because they're such different movies. I kind of, like, judge them on different aspects.
They are very different, and I don't... It's, you know what? It's aight.
It's aight. That's it.
I expected much, much worse. I've seen way worse sequels, though. Because I will say, buried in, like, some of the kind of just batty fucking nonsensical writing, there are moments of this movie that I think really, really work.
I actually really liked... I think my favorite sequence was the first, like, dream state mm-hmm. thing. Because it was so weird, but it was, like, is oddly well done. Like, mm-hmm. like where they're superimposing, like, people's faces on, and, like, the demon Reagan's reaching over and, like, giving the woman a heart attack and stuff. I thought that was, like, genuinely good. Like,
my favorite's the ending.
Yeah.
It's just...
it's so insane. Like, that's why I like the... So, the movie, when it goes insanity mode, like, it's great.
I do think it's a bit long.
It's almost 2 hours long.
Because I think you could have trimmed, like, 20 minutes, and it would have been, like, even better. Because I do think the middle portion kind of drags. But if you fixed up, like, the length, clean up some of the writing, make it a little more
maybe
clear, I guess.
Maybe explain some stuff a little better.
I think if you did that, this could be, like...
pretty decent.
A solid movie.
Yeah. But, yeah, you're right. The second act is just not... not it.
Yeah, like, first act,
pretty decent. Fine.
Third act, lit. Middle,
not so much.
It kind of drags.
Because the setup is great. Middle doesn't work at all, because they kind of fall through on their, like, whole overarching message.
Well, it's just like...
and then it just, like you said, it drags along.
Yeah.
And then the third act is just where everything comes to a head, and you're just like, this is what I waited for.
Because by that point, it's just like, I mean, I didn't even know. I didn't know.
I didn't know what to expect.
It's barely a horror movie or an exorcism movie, and then at the end, they're just like, fuck you. Get all the shit.
You get a fuckload of locusts. You get fucking Richard Burton flying against a wall. You get, like, a house being completely torn apart by bugs.
Yeah. Like, you get fucking demon Reagan, who's just, like, horny and, like, it's fucking weird.
It's weird, but it's a pretty, like...
but hey... they went there, and I am that person who admires when sequels just fucking go there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's... I will say this. It's going to be hard to rate this thing.
I know it is. Like, I'm not going to give it a low, like, a low, low rating, but I'm not going to give it a super high rating. I don't know. Like, I think shitty to pretty, I'd probably, I don't know, like, 4 or 5.
I'm going to say a 5.
I think a 5, because it's just like... it's just...
it is very, like...
it's middle.
It's middle, and it's just...
let me go in. Like, I was fully ready to hate...
you were ready to give this, like, a 1.
I was ready to shit all over this thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, after seeing it, I can see why people are mad, but I ain't...
no, I'm not mad. I mean, it's not even the worst movie in the fucking franchise.
No.
I've seen Exorcist don't the worry, beginning.
We get to watch that.
We will.
When we... it's a little far off, but
we'll get there. And I hated that movie.
I did too.
I think that's way worse than this. But it's okay.
I think a solid 5 is a good
one. And honestly, you know what? I give them fucking credit because I, in a way, I saved this for last, not just to annoy Will, but also because it I was expecting it to be like a fucking garbage ass 1 out of 10.
I think it's better going into it not knowing exactly what you to expect.
Not knowing and just you have just, to.
You have to forget that you're going into like something that came off the heels of the original Exorcist.
You have to keep an open mind with this.
You have to keep an open mind or else you're going to hate it. And I get why people hate it. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wanted to hate it, but I didn't absolutely hate it.
Can't.
Now we get into our favorite segment.
Because we're done with 77.
We are done with 1977. So this is where to an end.
We do our final little three pack.
Yes. We have best of the best of the worst, and worst of the worst. We're going to go from worst of the worst to best of the best.
But... Hell yeah.
So, Alex, let me just ask you first. What was your worst of the worst? Or should we start with best of the worst? Or
let's do worst of the worst. I want to end on a good note.
Okay.
I think I'm going to... I think I speak for you when I say this.
Oh, God. Are we going to agree again on everything?
I think we're going to agree on everything.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
Maybe not best of the worst. But my fucking worst is Meat Cleaver Massacre.
Absolutely.
You
what
agree?
What a fucking travesty.
That's yours?
I hate it. I was going to say maybe Planet of the Dinosaurs.
No.
It's so dumb. But you're right.
Meat Cleaver Look, Massacre. Planet of the Dinosaurs had at least effects.
Yes.
Meat Cleaver Massacre, it just, like, Meat Cleaver Massacre is what I expected this to be.
You know what? I mean, not Meat Cleaver Massacre. So, like I said, I was going to say Planet of the Dinosaurs, maybe, but I was thinking about it. But now, but you're right, because Meat Cleaver Massacre, it's a movie that couldn't even get the title right, because...
We watched it, like, a week or two ago. I'm already, like, blanking.
Dude, I have almost no idea what that movie's about.
Nothing.
But there's no, like, there. I know for sure as fuck there's, like, zero massacre.
No!
There's no meat cleaver.
None.
No meat cleaver. Use a meat cleaver.
No massacre. A man gets booped to death.
By a cactus.
By a cactus.
That happened in a movie.
That happened in the movie.
And not, like, it took a serious tone with that. It wasn't, like, a joke.
No.
That was a serious tone death scene
Boop.
Where he gets booped by a cactus.
That happened. That's why it's just
Meat
worthless.
Meat Cleaver Massacre is a fucking pile of shit.
It's worthless.
It's so garbage.
And because I try to find at least some value in every movie.
Listen, I go into these movies like with a very open mind.
Yes.
You have to. Or else we would go insane.
You have to.
You have to enjoy the little moments
of joy.
Of, like, just pure psychotic joy in these movies to even watch them.
But that one had none.
It had nothing. I mean, at least, like, so I was going to say Another Son of Sam because it made me so angry.
But it was funny.
But at least it was, like, it was so pathetically funny.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much pathetic...
They shot a hostage, Will.
There's so much pathetic things that happen in that movie that I just laughed my ass off.
Yeah.
So, even that, I enjoyed more than Meat Cleaver Massacre.
Yeah, it's a funny movie.
So, yes, worst of the worst, we agree, is fucking Meat Cleaver. Fuck that movie.
Now, best of the worst.
Best of the worst.
My choice. Because this movie is such a goddamn pile of fucking garbage. But, oh my god... It's so tiny brained that it loops back around to becoming big brained. Guy from Harlem.
God damn it, Alex. Why are we so similar?
Because
fuck.
Will.
It
he
doesn't
fucked.
Make for an interesting show. Because we just agree on everything.
Yeah.
Just worst of the worst is this. Best of the best is this. I don't
That's why
Fuck
we started.
We're just the same person.
That's why we started a podcast.
It's just me running around to each
microphone,
each microphone, and trying to sound different.
Guy from Harlem.
Guy from Harlem is it's fucking rips. I don't know. It's
so dumb.
It's so dumb, but so like
he the moo-moos.
I love it. I love it. It's so fucking stupid, but it's so entertaining.
I know. Moo Moo. Well, he literally he takes two women into another woman's apartment, has them wear the same muumuu, fucks them in this, oh, makes the same drink, fucks them in the same bed.
And he's, like, the most, like, one of the unsexiest, like...
Oh, he's got, like, this, like, gut. It's not, like, a big gut, but he's, like, so, like... He's got, like... He's, like, skinny fat, but he's supposed to be, like, our martial arts man.
Yeah, he's, like, this, like, professional, right?
Yeah.
But he's, like, just an average guy. I wouldn't, like, say he's, like, overly sexy or anything.
No, he's just some dude.
It's like Dolomite. Like, it's, like, just... He's not necessarily ugly, but he's not, like, I wouldn't consider him, like a male fantasy kind of thing.
No.
Like, I wouldn't fantasize about that guy ever.
No, it's
ever.
Endearing, if anything. You're just like, okay.
It's like, can do it. All right, cool.
Guy from Harlem.
So, Guy from Harlem, I just, it's fucking, it rips.
Just watch it.
It's so dumb, but so goddamn entertaining.
Oh, my God.
Like, nothing in that movie makes any goddamn sense, and that's the beauty of it.
It makes sense because it's so simple. It's just... It doesn't correspond to how, you know, like, it's just not right.
No,
I love it.
I don't. Will we agree on best of the best? I know what mine is. You want me to give it first?
Go ahead.
My best of the best.
I know what it's gonna be, and best I think it's gonna
of the absolute best.
Best movie ever.
I goddamn love this movie.
Best movie ever made.
It is the fucking it. Oh my God. I still think about this movie to this day because I love it that fucking much. Like, it is so fucking beautiful. Death Promise.
Same.
It, goddamn, that movie. Like, I want, like, no part of me wants to hate that movie because it's...
You can't!
It's so good.
How could you hate it?
Like, My favorite character we've seen on this fucking podcast is Sup Kim. Sup Kim is like, he gives no fucks. He's just
the
a fucking
guy
dude
that he met at like the super awesome karate school.
Yes.
And he was just like, hey, what you doing? Oh, we're going to go fuck up a bunch of people.
He's like, oh,
yeah,
right,
cool,
down.
Cool.
And we get the best fucking yelling action scene I've ever seen in my entire life.
Look up, please. All of you, go on YouTube. Type in Death Promise 1977. There is a video that's just called like, ah, watch it. Watch it.
Death Promise, it shouldn't work.
It has
right?
a theme song, Will.
It's a cheap 70s action movie,
but
it's
that's why it works.
So good.
No.
It is so good.
That's why it works. Because we talked about this when we reviewed it, that it seems like a movie that me and you could make.
Yeah.
That's why it's so awesome. Because it's just a bunch of dudes who love martial arts movies. We're like, let's make a fucking movie. And it has all the things that we love.
Yeah.
It's got like the fucking scene after scene of the murking like rich businessmen. And there's a karate school. And it's supposed to be like Japan, but it's obviously someone's backyard.
We also get like the inevitable betrayal at the end.
Betrayal. Too. There's the fucking... The epic showdown at the end. Like, it has everything
it's so
you
good.
Want.
It is beautiful. If you like 70s action movies, please add this to your collection.
You
it
have
is,
to watch this.
It is so good. Like, I love it. I still think about it. Sup Kim is still one of my favorite characters
God, so
I've ever
good.
Seen. Because Sup Kim gives so little fucks, but just agrees with everything.
He's down.
It's good.
Do you remember when they put a fucking... A bag of rats over a guy's face, and they ate his face.
Yeah, they nom his face.
How fucking... It's so... How can you hate it? How?
I don't know how anyone could hate it. I don't know why it's lowly rated enough that it got on this podcast, but
I'm
so glad,
glad it did.
I'm really glad it
I
did.
I will say, though, I do want to give special shout-outs to Mighty Peking Man.
Honorable mentions,
which
yes.
is a fucking amazing.
Mighty Peking Man is fucking awesome. I also had a lot of fun with Mr. Deathman.
Oh my God, but fucking budget James Bond.
It's so fucking stupid, but I have to get an honorable mention because I enjoyed the hell out of watching.
My other honorable is Prey.
Prey was good. I really liked Prey.
I fully expected to hate Prey, but I loved it.
Another honorable mention for best of the worst. just because it's fucking insane, is Incredible Melting Man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it just goes places that I did not expect it to go.
But yeah, like our hero getting blasted in the face.
Yeah, and then everyone dying, and then the fucking antagonist getting scooped up and put in the trash.
Just yeeted in the trash, and then they're back like...
in the rings of Saturn through the... You see Saturn through the... See the sun through the rings of Saturn.
You haven't lived till you've seen the sun.
I want a bread roll. No one messaged me.
Fuck them.
No one messaged me. I want a bread roll. None of you get a fucking shirt.
We ate all the bread rolls.
We ate all the bread rolls. Sorry, not sorry.
Oh my god.
But I just had a lot of fun with that one, so that gets an honorable mention for best of the worst. There's no honorable mention for worst of the worst because fuck that.
That's dishonorable.
And, yeah. So,
but another year down.
Yes.
However, we are doing that podcast next week.
Yes.
This time next week. Well, not this time, earlier.
Yeah.
But same day. But next movie is Dungeon Siege. Excuse me. In the name of the king, a Dungeon Siege tale?
Tale, yeah.
By U-Bull.
U-Bull. We're continuing our shitrospective.
Two fucking hour movie by U-Bull.
The fucking worst human on the planet.
And that I you know what? That's not even exaggerating.
No, it's not. Because we've already watched two and I want to... Three.
Three!
And I want to kill myself.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Is it just me or... I feel like it's almost getting worse.
I hope not, because
I feel like his movies are almost in some weird ass way getting worse.
Now, I also want to mention this because it's only about a week away. We are doing a live stream again. Mm-hmm. Finally, after fucking like 3 months of us being fucking gonzo
incognito,
we are doing another live stream. We're doing a November live stream on the 24th. That's the Sunday before Thanksgiving. So be there, and we're gonna be the turkeys that day. We're gonna be the jive turkeys playing fucking stupid ass games for your entertainment.
Oh, we got our games ready. We'll be there.
We got everything ready, so be there, and it'll be fun. But fuck,
it'll be fun.
It'll be fun. It'll be a good time.
It's always fun.
So yeah, be there. 24th.
Yep.
Yeah. 24th. Yeah, and then, be there for Thursday to hear my drunken... Sorry about the Blood Rain episode. I've been thinking you barely hear me because I'm so fucking drunk.
Bro, you needed that.
I'm going to need it again.
Are you fucking kidding me?
In the Name of the King is fucking, like, two and a half hours long?
It's over 2 hours. The fucking idiot... I'm not looking forward to it.
I'm not either. But yeah, so be there on Thursday to hear... us shit on U-Bull again.
U-Bull.
And be there on Sunday for our Team Cone live stream.
Yeah.
And as always, thank you, 1977. You've been fun.
It's been fun. It's been good.
On 1978.
I'm excited.
Let's see what it has in store for us. As always, for They Mostly Come In at Night, this has been Will.
And this has been Alex.
And we will talk to you all later.
Bye.
Bye.